In just a moment, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verse 23. While you're turning there, I've got a couple things I want to say to you. Every sermon that I preach to you is so important to me. I want to make sure it's the truth that can change your life. I mean, I could give you just something really simple that I didn't study for, maybe hadn't really looked into deeply, but it wouldn't be something more than likely that would help you a lot. But I've got something here this morning I believe can get you to look closely at yourself and a truth that only comes from the Word of God. Now, before I bring you the message, you know I do this sometimes. I like to sing you a song. I love music. That's not my first love. Preaching is my first love. But I love music also. And I want to bring you a song that I believe totally explains in song the gospel. It's called One Heart, Two Hands, and Three Nails. And after I sing this song, I'll bring you the message entitled, The Most Important Decision in Your Life. And now the song, One Heart, Two Hands, Three Nails.
I looked up to heaven, it seemed so far away. Couldn't see the picture that's there as plain as day. When I asked for mercy and the key to set me free, yes, and I saw a miracle that even a child can see. It's as simple as one, two, three. One heart, two hands, three nails. One Savior who carried the cross of Calvary's trail. It's so easy to understand salvation's simple plan. One heart, two hands, three nails. People just existing, so many never know. To live a life of hurting, it's not the way to go. I'm glad I found the answer and the joy that Jesus brings. It shouldn't be a mystery when it's such a simple thing. Like the sun, the wind, and rain. One heart, two hands, three nails. One Savior who carried the cross of Calvary's trail. It's so easy to understand salvation's simple plan. One heart, two hands, three nails. It's so easy to understand salvation's simple plan. One heart, two hands, three nails. One heart,
one heart,
two hands,
two hands,
three nails. One heart, two hands, three nails.
All right, church, that's the gospel in song. One heart, two hands, three nails. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 something we need to latch on to. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I want to title this sermon, The Most Important Decision in Your Life. Now, there are three groups of people this morning in this room. Number one, you know you are saved. You know that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven. Number two, there's another group. You know you're not saved. And if the Bible is true, which it is, you'd go to hell if you died in the pew. Revelation chapter 20 describes it, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They are a few people in this room like that. But then there's a third group. You do not know for sure that you've been saved. Many here doubt this morning. Now, you'd like to know. I believe you'd want to know for sure. If you died today, you would go to heaven. And the next 30 minutes, I'm going to try to make this as plain as I can make it, so that you can walk out of here and know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. Now, there are five statements. Now, I want you to listen very closely. Number one, there are four forms of life in the world today. Only four. You have plant life, animal life, human life, and spiritual life. Number two, none of these, church, can be promoted to a higher life. No matter what you do to a plant, you can't make it a dog. You can feed that plant dog food, doesn't change it. You can sprinkle it, you can baptize it, but it is still a plant. The preacher can come to the plant and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But it's still a plant. You can't change it. The second form of life is animal life. Most of us have a dog. Some of you have a cat. If you have a dog, you can't make it a better dog. Now, you can teach it to act human. You can even feed it human food. You can, after church, stop at McDonald's and buy it a quarter pounder with cheese, French fries, and a chocolate shake, and feed it to your dog. Watch it now. It's still a dog. You can even breed it with a better dog. What happens? The result, it's still a dog. You can sprinkle it. You can baptize it. You can even administer to that dog the Lord's Supper. You can pronounce it the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But guess what? It's still an animal. It's still a dog. You can't change it. You can't change it to a human being. It's still a dog. There's a third source of life, human life. Now watch this. You can improve a human being, but you can't make a human a Christian. You can sprinkle it. You can serve at the Lord's Supper. That human being can be so good that he pays his debts. He can join the church. He can turn over a new leaf. Watch it now, church. He can be the best man in town, but he can't be a Christian until he is born again. Number three, each must be born to his own kind. Plant life is a plant, born of a plant, born from the seed of a plant. Dog is a dog, born from the seed of a dog. Man is a man, born from the seed of a man. Let me tell you something. I don't care how kind you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you pay your debts. I don't care if you're a Baptist. I don't care if you're a Methodist. I don't care if you're a Church of Christ. You must be born again. You might be good. You might be religious. But I don't care how many Baptist preachers have baptized you. You must be born again. All right, let's review. Number one, there are four forms of life in the world, only four. Number two, none of these can be promoted to a higher life. Number three, each must be born to his own kind. In other words, to that seed. Number four, why then does a person need to be born again? Well, because the body cannot live forever. Did you get that? Don't miss it, church. The body that you have cannot live forever. It is going to die, and the soul will live somewhere forever. Number five, in each one of these lives, there was a seed that brought it to life. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Every man and every woman that is in this room this morning, you're here because of seed. Unfortunately, it was corruptible seed. It was the seed of your dad. But you're here, and that seed literally produced you or life. We need plant seed for plants, dog seed for a dog, human seed for a human. Now don't miss this. Please listen to me. To be born again, man has to have seed. And that seed, of course, is the Word of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Again, to be born again, a man has to have seed, the seed of the Word of God. When the seed is sown in you, you reap and you're born again. This morning, the Holy Ghost of God is putting seed in you. And if it germinates, you can be born again. Now don't miss this. Listen to me. Four parts take place when seed is produced in you. Number one, you must realize that you are a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this morning, seed, if you're not saved, is in you. But you have to do something. I'm not talking about works for salvation. But you've got to realize you are a sinner. You say, well, Brother Paul, I'm a Baptist. Well, then you're a Baptist sinner. You say, I'm a Methodist. And you are a Methodist sinner. A Catholic, and you're a Catholic sinner. You say, I'm a Presbyterian, you're a Presbyterian sinner. You say, I'm Assembly of God, then you are an Assembly of God sinner. You say, well, preacher, I'm an honest person. Yeah, an honest sinner. You say, I'm a decent person. Yep, a decent sinner. But that's not going to germinate. That seed that has been planted into your heart this morning by the Holy Ghost of God is waiting for you to admit that you are a sinner. There's a second thing. Sinners are under the condemnation of God. In other words, if you're not saved, you are under the condemnation of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." This is what will take you to hell. I'm talking about, church, the hell that D.L. Moody preached about. It is still burning. The hell that Lester Roloff preached about is still burning. The hell that Percy Ray preached about is still burning. The hell that Billy Sunday preached about is still burning. The hell that Charles Spurgeon preached about is still burning. The hell that Oliver B. Green preached about is still burning. The hell that J. Harold Smith preached about is still burning. The hell that George Whitfield preached about is still burning. The hell that Clifford Rice preached about is still burning. The hell that Ed Ballou preached about is still burning. It's still burning. Watch it now. Hell is still there. There's a third thing. The penalty for sin has been already paid for. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Did you hear that? Jesus came into this world. He was born of a virgin. He lived for 33 and a half years. He never sinned one time. He's the only man that never sinned. He was perfect. They crucified him. He died on the cross for my sins and for yours. Oh, thank God that he did. He was the sacrifice for your sins and mine, so that you and I could have every sin we've ever committed in our life forgiven, washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The penalty for sin has been paid already. They crucified him. They buried him. And praise the Lord, he rose again the third day. He died for our sins, but he rose for our justification. There's a fourth thing. If then you are willing to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for you, you can receive him as your Savior this morning. And number five, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost of God comes into your life. He regenerates you. I'm talking about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. He regenerates you. In other words, he regenes you. You have the genes of your dad in your body. But glory to God, when you get the seed of God in you, he regenes you. How in the world can a person be born again and not have the genes of God? Oh, friend, God loves you. And when he saved you, those of you in this room that have been born again, I know there's a tendency sometimes to forget what all God did for us when he saved you. But when you got born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost came in your body. He regenerates you. He regenes you. And the genes are the Word of God. my friend, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So if you're not saved, I hope you'll come up this morning. Or if you're doubting, I hope now you know for sure, or it's all cleared up. Either that you know you're saved, or maybe you realize that you're not, and you need to come and be saved. And there's some of you this morning, it's cleared up. Thank God it is. You say, Brother Paul, I had forgotten all that the Lord did for me when He saved me. I had some doubts, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been saved. Then you ought to come this morning and just thank the Lord for what He did for you. Maybe you say, I had no doubts at all. I knew what took place when I got saved years ago. But you come on up also, and you thank your Heavenly Father for taking you like you were a dirty, stinking, good-for-nothing, rotten sinner that ought to go to hell. I ought to go to hell. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. And I believe you feel the same way. So if you want to come this morning, you come. But again, if you're here and you say, I know I need to be saved this morning, you come when the music starts and tell me, Brother Paul, I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved, and I will get somebody to show you how to be born again. Every head bowed and every eye closed.